Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. I bang on all the time about how much I love growing herbs, but this isn't one that I've tried. Mostly because Vietnamese mint isn't one I use a whole lot in the kitchen. Now don't get me wrong, I love Vietnamese food and the freshness that Vietnamese mint brings to a dish is not lost on me. So Elise, before we get stuck into growing it, can we talk about where Vietnamese mint sits on your list of favourite veggies to eat? Favorite herbs to eat. Oh my gosh, we've recorded this intro like five times. Vietnamese mint is such a tongue twister. We're rolling with it.
We're going. Where does it sit on the herb hierarchy?
Or veggies.
What if you want? All sorts. Look, it's a bit sad, but I'm going to say it's pretty low. Just because I don't use it that much.
I know, it's low for me too.
Do you know though, when I was thinking about this episode beforehand, I was like, I should use it more. Like, I feel like I could actually put it in a lot more Asian dishes than I do. So I'm going to try.
And I think we could get so creative with, like, salads and things 100%. Using it. And that would be so exciting.
Yeah. Let's go on a mission to use more Vietnamese mint.
Yeah.
So for anyone that actually – because I feel like some people might not even know what Vietnamese mint is. I'd say, simplistically, if you've ever eaten a rice paper roll –
You've had Vietnamese mint
in that.
So it looks like, what kind of a leaf does it look like? It's pointy.
It's like long and slender and pointy at the end.
Yeah.
So like a surfboard.
Like a surfboard. Exactly. Yeah, it's like a surfboard. A small surfboard is what you're eating.
In case that needed to be said. That's smaller than the actual
surfboard. But also might be a little bit more pointy than a surfboard.
True.
Anyway, you get the vibe of it.
And actually it is very beautiful. It's often got like green with like a purple kind of center. It's very aesthetically pleasing, the leaf. I think that's why in rice paper rolls it's usually like placed on the outside as some kind of...
Yeah, it looks jazzy.
Looks very jazzy.
If there's any of our listeners who are Vietnamese chefs out there and have exciting ways for us to use it...
Tell us.
Or not, and just have exciting ways to use it, please.
Absolutely. And look, flavor-wise, again, if you've never eaten it, I tried to think about how to describe this. I'm going to say it's peppery and minty... all at once.
It's minty, but not like blow your head off minty.
No. The best way I could sum it up, see if you agree or not.
Yeah, hit me.
If mint, coriander, and rocket had a baby.
Oh, I don't mind that at all.
Okay.
I think that's quite a good shout.
Okay. The three of them combined.
If they had a baby, yeah.
If they had a baby, yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it's very appropriate in the plant world. We're always talking about babies.
After last week's episode.
It was all about babies. The funny thing is, though, it actually is no relation to mint. It's actually not a mint.
Ah. Oh.
This is of no interest other than just trivia.
So, okay.
Having said that, though, pretty much everything I've ever said about mint on this podcast is applicable.
Well, that's why I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Because you're like, should we do an episode on Vietnamese mint? It's so similar to mint.
Yeah.
But it's not mint at all.
Look, if I had to hazard a guess, I would say the reason it is called mint is because it does behave like mint.
Mm.
Even though, biologically speaking, if that's the term, it's not a mint.
And also because coriander minty rocket is not easy to roll off the tongue.
The CMR. Oh, goodness. So, look, if you haven't eaten any, maybe go try some before you're inspired to grow it or not, because I will start this episode by saying it's very, very easy to grow.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, only grow what you're going to use in your kitchen.
Yeah. But maybe this is a situation where having it in the garden would encourage you to use it more.
Because it is. It's great in salads.
Yeah.
If you're skilled enough to make yourself a rice paper roll, sure. In like a Vietnamese soup, like a broth, like delicious.
I don't know if I'm making this up, but I feel like sometimes people deep fry it.
Oh.
Am I making that up?
I've not seen it deep fried.
I'm thinking of like, you know, like you deep fry curry leaves?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just thinking of curry leaves. I love curry leaves. We should do an episode on curry leaves.
We should. Should I do a live Google of a deep fried?
Yeah, let's just pause for 1 second. I mean,
you put anything into Google and you're going to get something.
Well, someone's going to have deep fried it once.
Okay, I've done a live Google and I'm not deep diving into this, but it's not popping up as a frequently searched and it's not high in the list of returns on Google. So
I'm sure there's some very talented Vietnamese chef listening to this going, what is she talking about? I think I'm thinking of curry leaves. But anyway, look, but I'm going to make
you
it,
try?
I'm going to.
Fry
I'm going to make
a couple
a mission
up and see what happens.
Because they actually, they're not a soft herb like basil or something. Like the leaf is quite textured. So I'm thinking it could handle a bit of frying. But look, we'll see. We'll come back to this.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Okay, well, now presumably you're...
Can you come back to it in the same episode where you eat a Brussels sprout leaf?
Oh, yes, and do you know... a lovely listener emailed us or messaged us on Instagram the other day and said that he eats the broccoli leaves.
Yes.
In the same way. Oh, he said he fries them like kale chips.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know how much I love a kale chip. So
you have to try that too. We need to Elise is cooking all the things that Elise eats from her garden that's
weird.
That's weird. Or just, cooks it weird.
Yeah, just like the top of beetroot leaves as well. I've got to give them a bit more of a go.
I love this idea for an episode. We can rate them how good they are.
Okay, so everyone that's listened to episodes, I'd love someone or like you possibly, but like correlate all the weird things I've said. I'll try, and then I just need to have like a weekend cook up.
Love it.
Okay, we'll come back to this.
Okay, but back to that's a massive tangent. Back to Vietnamese mint.
Massive tangent. Okay, so first off, it's a perennial stay in the ground all year round.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the reasons why we love it. As a beginner crop, you do the work once.
Yep.
You never have to do it again. Love that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other reason why it's a really great crop is that it does really well in a lot of shade. And when I say it's not, oh, it's better in the sun, but if you can put it in the shade, you know, you can get away with it. It actually needs the shade.
There are so few plants. So few crops. So even if all you do is you're like, I have a shady spot that I could put something in.
Mm-hmm. Even if you just want a plant filler.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Okay.
So that's a really, really good advantage. I think probably I actually grow quite a bit of it. And I think the reason is because there's a lot of spots in the garden that I'm like, oh, mint or Vietnamese mint would do really well there and not much else would. So it goes in. So that's answering the question of where we're going to plant it, somewhere really shady.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, now I'm tangenting a little bit, but it can actually then operate as a bit of a living mulch ground cover situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I grow it underneath my apple trees. Mm. Some fruit trees don't like stuff growing at their bases. Citrus, not a fan, but apple trees are happy with stuff underneath. I grow the Vietnamese mint underneath because it actually suppresses the weeds and holds in the moisture as this living mulch situation. Nice. So even if you never harvested it, it's not a bad – I wouldn't say it's like the world's best living mulch, but it definitely, as a hardy ground cover, does a good job of that. So if you've got fruit trees, absolutely put them under there or any super shady spot.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a moment ago that it acts similar to mint, and one thing I know about mint is it's – kind of a weed. So just in terms of thinking about where you're going to plant it, you wouldn't plant it in your bed with all your other stuff because it's kind of going to take over. Same rule applies for the Vietnamese mint.
Yeah, you couldn't be more accurate. It will spread like a weed, like your regular common mint would. So I would say to everyone, keep it in a pot 100% unless you want it as your living ground cover.
Yeah, 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 right, like in the fruit trees.
Like in the fruit trees, but absolutely under no circumstances do I want it in a veggie bed
because
you will have an entire veggie bed of Vietnamese mint, which I'm going to say even the most dedicated eater is not going to get through.
No.
So, yeah, pot, I think I'd say for 90% of people, pot's going to be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger the pot, bigger the plant.
We skipped over the question that we normally ask first off, seed or seedling?
Seedling.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yep. Definitely an easy one from seedling, not so much for seed. Like, I don't really see a lot of people growing it from seed, so I think that speaks volumes. But here's the other thing, and it is very easy to buy as a seedling, mm-hmm. very readily available, despite the fact it's not the most common herb. But here's the cool part, is it actually grows really well from a cutting. Ooh. So if you have purchased Vietnamese mint from the market or supermarket, providing you get onto this early while it's still quite fresh, or if someone you know grows Vietnamese mint, take a piece of it, sit it in a glass of water. So okay. I want quite a bit of the stem part in water. Give it a few weeks, it should grow roots.
Amazing.
If it doesn't grow roots, chuck it out and head to the nursery and buy a seedling. If it does grow roots, wait until it's got, you know, like a semi-decent root situation, not just like one centimeter long root. Like let it get a few good long ones out and then plant it out.
Great.
It works really, really well. You know how every plant kind of has its like preferred method? Like, you know, a zucchini, you like go from a seed. Strawberry, go from a runner. Fig tree, go from a hardwood cutting.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely the easiest way to propagate it.
Yeah, nice.
Which I actually think is probably why seedlings are so cheap and readily available too, because that's what they're going to be doing in the commercial operation. So, and look, I've never done it from a purchased bunch of Vietnamese mint, but I would say there's no issue as long as it's, you know, not really old.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And do you know what's so great about that is that we have spoken recently about people who don't necessarily have nurseries nearby them. So I love thinking about these options that is not growing from seedling as well.
Necessarily. And, yeah. Exactly. And look, like the chives discussion a couple of weeks ago, you're going to plant this once. You're going to have it presumably, ideally, for the rest of your life. So spending $3 on a seedling for the life of the plant.
True.
So I'm always way more inclined to buy a perennial stay in the ground all year round from a seedling than I am an annual.
Yep.
Just from that cost perspective, I think it makes a lot more sense.
So we've got what we're growing from,
mm-hmm.
where we're growing it, which is in a shady spot. How
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I mean, definitely in a pot or something mm-hmm. that's contained.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we need to know about maintenance?
Well, the other question we haven't got to is when.
Oh, yes.
Which for a lot of these perennials is actually not that important. It's nowhere near like the annual situation. But I would say spring or summer is going to be the time to plant it, just to let it get really well established before our cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're somewhere really warm, you can probably plant it all year round.
Okay.
But for us down here in the south, summer's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Spring, summer.
Okie dokie, so we've got it in and we've got it in at the right time of year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you reckon about maintenance?
Look, not much.
Nice.
Always a plus. Heads why it's one of the good beginner crops. Now, like mint again, it really likes to stay moist.
Okay. Maybe it's why it likes the shade so much.
Well, exactly. So actually keeping something moist that's in the shade is a lot easier. So keep it moist, but it shouldn't be too much of a challenge because being in a shady spot is going to massively reduce evaporation, et cetera, et cetera. There's really no pests or issues with it. Kind of anything that has those really strong aromas, no stress. The only thing about it is it can get a bit leggy, like it can get a bit long and stringy and a bit shitty looking.
Does that impact the taste as well?
No.
Okay.
So if you don't care, like I don't care, but you know, I think bigger the garden, the less you care. So yeah. If it's like on a balcony, it might not be the best looking thing ever. Anyway, if you don't want it to look like that, all you got to do is give it some haircuts down to like maybe cut off like 2/3 of the bush.
Oh, okay. And then, the whole bush at once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't cut it down to the point that there's no leaves on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a bad idea. But as long as there's some leaves, you can cut it down to that level. And then what that does is it'll encourage it to shoot out, but it'll shoot out in multiple branches, which gives it that bushiness rather than that stringy, leggy look.
Yeah, nice.
And in winter, we will do that.
Yeah, give it a full trim.
Give it a full trim back to like a couple of leaves on each.
And so you're unlikely to be harvesting a lot of herbs, lot of the leaves in.
So I think if you're in a really warm climate, so like north of Australia, my guess is you would actually be fine to eat Vietnamese mint all year round. Us here in the south just like our chives, just like our regular mint, just like our strawberries, they do go pretty much completely dormant and yep. shitty over winter. So you're not going to be harvesting any throughout winter, but the other 9 months of the year, you're going to get an ample Vietnamese mint harvest. Yeah, great. And in spring, it will come back very fast.
Okay.
So if we didn't prune it, say you plant it and you never, ever, ever prune it, it's still going to go well. You're still going to get a Vietnamese mint, but it really is going to be terribly woody. Because look, like lavender is another one that you need to prune every winter. Otherwise, it just gets like woodier and shittier every year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Anyway, give it a prune.
Sure.
If nothing else, just once a year in winter.
Yeah. Okay.
Give it a prune. Keep it moist. Keep it in the shade. That's it.
It's very easy.
It's so easy.
When we're harvesting, do you take off a whole bunch, like grab a bunch and snip it off, or do you just pick off individual leaves?
Yeah, good question. With this one, we're going to do the whole stem and leaf situation.
Okay.
Because if we pick off the leaves, then we're kind of encouraging it to do this like long leafy situation. Yeah, yeah. So just chop off the leaves. And I promise you, you'd really struggle to do it too much.
Okay.
It's like mint, you know, you just hack at it. Yep. It doesn't need to be precious. Not like basil where we've got to like finesse it to give it leaves. No, just cut off stems. And actually a lot of the time you see like stems of it in Asian cocktails and things like that. So it's sometimes handy to actually have the leaf and stem situation.
We didn't even talk about cocktails.
We didn't even talk about. Yeah, like there's a lot of like Asian cocktails where they cook it up in like a sugar syrup to infuse.
Ah.
I mean, this is a way that I could get through a lot of Vietnamese. Yeah.
Not a problem.
Exactly.
Cocktails, here we come. So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon. High effort, but not much reward.
I think the ease at which the Vietnamese mint is going to grow is quite clearly established from our little chat here. But I'm still not certain where it's going to sit on the squeezy juice matrix. What are you thinking?
I think it might be, and I can't remember the last time I've had one of these. Mm. It could be a quick win and fill in because it's a shady spot, so you're not taking up real estate in your garden for everything else that loves sun. You can pop it in a pot, which is great because you can put it anywhere. Super low maintenance. You're just chopping it back each year and that's like barely anything. But I don't use heaps of it. So unless that – which is like what would put it into best on ground for me. So
yeah.
I think it's a quick win fill-in.
I think you're totally right in that, and especially the shade situation, like that just gets it over the line almost even if you were never going to eat it. It's a valid – and it is a pretty plant, pretty leaves. You're right. The thing that stops it being the best on ground is just not the most versatile of the herbs. Although, you know, we're on a mission to change that.
And now that we've spoken about cocktails, who knows?
Who knows? Options are endless. And you're right. Literally once a year, 5 minutes, a chop – is all you got to do. I think that really is the summary of a quick win to fill in.
I think just one final thought on you eating everything that you've said you're going to eat. I feel like we need a Elisa's Vietnamese mint cocktail as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, not that you don't have enough in your life, but I'm just adding to it.
I'm really picturing some kind of lemongrass, lychee, Vietnamese mint situation.
Can you get a bit of cucumber in there as well?
Ooh,
I know you love your cucumbers.
It's true. I do love my cucumbers. Do you know I harvested 2 cucumbers this morning?
Oh, how fabulous.
Isn't that so exciting?
So exciting.
Okay. Well, next time we record, Tess, I'm going to make a cocktail and we might drink it at the end, not the start.
Well, the start wouldn't be a problem.
Might be an interesting episode, guys.
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess. Artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at RootingForYouPod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.